decision.
All right. So I'm going to need some help on this, or we'll be bouncing back and forth. If I can get somebody on Zoom to agree to read some scripture, that would be great. And if I can get people in the classroom to read some scripture, that would be great too. So on Susan's side of the room, if you guys would take Revelation.
Later.
We'll get there when we get there.
Revelation.
Hey. And if somebody on Zoom would take Daniel. Chapter 9. And the rest of us will stay on Matthew 24. Paul, I might have you go to Zechariah depending on how far we get.
Okay.
All right. So, here we go. Matthew chapter 24. Back on the parables. Here's the parable of the fig tree. He's got several parables of the fig tree, but this is the one that we're on now as we move into all the parables in Matthew, getting to the last set. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So, in verse 33 it says, so likewise, ye, when ye see all these things, know that it is near. We need to go back and figure out what are all these things. So, he's using the example of the fig tree. Again, the feast are set around the agricultural cycle. So when you see the leaves coming up on the fig tree, all right, that's a sign that spring is here and summer's on the way. The way the feasts are lined up is the first four feasts are the spring feasts. Summertime is the gap when, for lack of a better word, all hell starts to break loose. And then God comes onto the scene at the beginning of the rapture and the second coming. We are in the time of the summer season. So what he's saying here is, when you see, just like in the natural, when you see these things, when you see the fig tree and the leaves start to come out, you know that summer is the next season that's on the way. He's saying when you see these things, all right, that's a sign of what's to come. All right, so let's figure out what all these things are supposed to come out. All right. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. I've got to figure out where I am now. All right, verse 1. Matthew 24, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, I can see what the disciples are saying. They're sitting on the Mount of Olives, which is in and of itself pathetic. And the disciples are so proud and happy of what they're seeing here. It's like, look at Christ, look at the temple and its magnificence. And they're kind of showing off and they're very proud of this. And Jesus tells them, don't get too happy. All of this stuff is coming down. And that must have been shocking to hear. Just shocking. Verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, that is significant, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? So they're asking him three questions. Hey, when is this going to happen? Relating to the temple being destroyed. And what shall be the sign of thy coming? When are you coming back? So they know something about end time prophecy. And when is the end of the world? So three things. Christ is really only going to answer two of those things. But they must have had some knowledge of end time prophecy. Whether they knew about the feast or what, I don't know.
They knew about Daniel.
Well, yeah. And he's going to take them back to Daniel. So now Christ is getting ready to have a Bible study with his disciples. All right. Now, I love David Jeremiah. And he points out four signs of end times from this scripture. And he says, can you identify them in the passage? And there's the sign of deception, disputes among nations, signs of devastation, and a sign of deliverance into tribulation, and that's Christianity being under attack. Those are four things that David Jeremiah points out. And he says they're found in these scriptures. All right, so.
What was that last one? Deliverance.
Sign of deliverance into tribulation. Or Christianity being under attack. In fact, I think I got a clip of David Jeremiah saying something about this passage of scripture, and if I get a chance, I want to play it because it's encouraging. All right. Verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Okay? Sign of deception. And we see that across the spectrum. We see it in politics, we see it in government, we see it in just sign of deception. All right. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. If deception was not going to be a significant part of end time, then he wouldn't be warning us about this. And we should not be surprised, because when we fell in the garden, what was it that caused us to fall? It was deception. It was a little bit of truth. But the truth was used in a way that was deceitful and caused us to fall. So, again, I've got to make sure I'm rolling around step four to make sure that whatever I'm doing and saying or whatever I'm hearing lines up with the Holy Spirit and not lines up with what I want to hear, but what God wants me to hear. All right, so... And I had a question here. I don't know if I had it in my notes or not. Has there been evidence in the past of others who have come and deceived many and said they were like the salvation?
Yeah.
Okay. So there'll be more of the same. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. All right. That's there. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, all right, pestilences, earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So,
My version says the beginning of birth pains.
Okay, and I was going to go there. So, sorrows and birth pains. Only a couple of us in the room can relate to this, so I'll go to your expertise. Once you have birth pains, the initial birth pains, I hear that they are light in comparison to as you get down to the delivery day.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So as you get closer to delivery and release, the pains get more frequent.
And stronger.
And
stronger. Yeah. When I was married, I had a wife.
I was there.
There you go. Right now, listen.
Thank you, Mac. He's saying the same thing. Because when we look at our world today, come on, help me here. You got to think sometimes, man, what the heck is going on?
Yeah.
And you've got to kind of think sometimes, hey, we're just doomed to deception. I mean, just and you can be distraught. And he's saying here, don't be distraught. It's part of the plan, all right? And just like the birth pangs, all right, there's relief on the end of this, but don't freak out when the frequency starts to become more and more.
Can I tell like a 1 minute story?
Yeah.
So we were at the beach this past week with our family. Somebody blessed us with a place to go. And I had fixed dinner. I was fixing rice and I mismeasured. I know the women can relate to doing this probably once in their life. And I wanted to get rid of it and start over. And there was a garbage disposal. And so I put the hot rice down into the garbage disposal. And it, long story short, it swelled up in the pipe.
Oh,
and we're in these people's condo, very nice place. And I start inside going into freak out because of what's happening. And very much like when you're going into labor. And I didn't want to just, everybody was having such a good time and the kids were talking. And so I called Jimmy inside and I told him. And so he said, well, I'm going to wait till after we eat. He said, I can fix it. Don't panic. I'm going to wait till after we eat. So immediately after we eat, he goes in. He and my son-in-law, who's a fix-it man too, and they're underneath the sink. And he figures out what's wrong and where it is. And, you know, and I just go over to the living room with children, and I'm just trying not to, you know, say, we've torn up the doors and buzzer, we're going to call the plumber, you know, all that. And I know, I was trying. And and so Jimmy all of a sudden, and he had a bucket, he had everything he needed down in there, and all of a sudden he says, it's coming! And Kyle was in the laundry room, and he runs in there, and Kyle gets the bucket, and Jimmy's got the pipe, and all that rice is coming out. It's coming! And I ran to the side of the kitchen, and it gushed into that bucket.
And so I took some of my finger there and got some of it out. And he ran to get something else to poke up in there. When he ran in there to get something else, I went, it's coming!
And so God, through Jimmy and Kyle, fixed the problem. We gave birth to the rice. And it got fixed. And I was so exhausted from the day, from the, you know, from cooking, from that situation. I was just sitting on the couch with the kids around me. And Jimmy, I looked up and I saw my husband washing all the dishes. After he had done all that and taking care of everything. And I said to the Lord, I said, this is what you meant when you said, husbands love your wives as Christ loves the church.
Yeah.
And all he was concerned about was that I was okay.
Yeah. You can use that story in what we're looking at here. It is a, revelation is scary. But revelation for believers should be a sign of hope.
And it did. It really, God used it to remind me I could trust him in all things.
Yes. Thank you for that. All right. Revelation. Let's start in Revelation 2. So the Revelation side of the room, we'll take a look at Revelation 2, verse 10.
Okay, I got it.
All right. If you would read that for me, sir.
Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Mm. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life.
All right.
It starts off scary, but then it gets really bad at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Until death.
Till death. But there's a crown. We got to understand, this world is not the promised land. And this life is not the promised land. All right. We're supposed to endure and be faithful unto Him. Take a look at Revelation 6, verses 5 and 6. Okay.
You said 6, 5?
Yep. Revelation 6. 5 and 6.
When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine."
Third seal. Pestilence. Anybody know what inflation looks like? That's what it looks like. My wife told me the other day that there's a shortage in helium. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, does that mean we aren't going to have any birthday balloons?
Yeah. Wind Dixie on Vaughn Road, only one.
All right. I did not realize that helium is what's used to power some of the medical equipment and CAT scans and things of that nature. It is amazing that a virus can turn the world upside down so that our supply chain is broken and so that prices and things like that are causing this type of steel. Yes.
I just saw read today that there's probably going to be a shortage of diesel fuel, which will affect everybody because of transportation trucks, various things.
The more we go into this, the scarier it sounds. Somebody read Revelation 6, 7, and 8.
When the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." I looked, and behold, an ashen horse, and he who sat on it had the name Death, and Hades was following with him. Authority was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by the wild beasts of the earth.
Sickness. Pestilence. It's coming. We're getting a sampling of it, just like the birth pangs. We're seeing a sampling of it now. It will get worse. But he said, that's not the end. Now, I want to give you some hope because I saw this from David Jeremiah. Again, I like him. And I just want to play this for you.
The first thing he says to them in verse 10 is, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer." Jesus comes to the people of Smyrna with a simple instruction. "I don't want you to be afraid. Suffering, imprisonment, and martyrdom are to be met with the gracious word of the Lord. Don't be afraid." You say, "Pastor, that's easy to say, not so easy to do."
Amen.
If there's any one emotion that I think people have felt during these days we're experiencing right now, it's kind of a quiet fear. Where is this all going? What's going to happen? What's going to happen in our culture? What's going to happen in our economy? What's going to happen in our faith? And if we're not careful, we can allow our lives to be run by fear. And the Lord Jesus comes to us in the midst of our troubles and says to us, "If you have me, you don't have to be afraid, for I have overcome the world." If you've come here and you're going through a lot of stuff, maybe you think I'm going to tell you to buck up and try harder and work harder. All I want to say to you is what Jesus said to the church in Smyrna. Don't be afraid. You don't have to fear what is happening, what may happen. Fear not.
Okay. Now, I don't have my Bible with me, But I want to give you something that lines up with the feast that will help you. And I don't have it in my notes, so I'm going to have to wing this. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 4. And let me see if I can get to it. Let's go to Blue Letter Bible, wonderful resource. Let's go to Revelation 4. Okay, let me see if I can remember how I did this. It's been a while. Okay, Revelation 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show ye things which must be hereafter." Now, whenever there's a door opening in heaven, it means something is coming up or something is coming down. And it's associated, in this one, with a trumpet. That is a sign of the rapture. Trumpet blast, heaven open. All right. "And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon as a jasper and as a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like an emerald." I'm sorry, I got to go through this because it's been a while since I looked at this scripture, and I forgot to put it in my notes. "And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had upon their heads crowns of gold." Okay. He's in heaven. He's looking at this vision. Where did these 24 elders come from?
12 disciples and 12 tribes.
Now, how did they get up there?
Well, to be out of your body, to be with Christ.
True. Yeah. Rapture. But I'm saying rapture. I know it's just saying to be present with the Lord. Absent.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Present with the Lord. Okay. Yeah. All right. "And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burnt before the throne, the seven spirits of God." Let me keep going.
Back up for a second on four. What you're talking about? Absent from the body to be with Christ is in spirit. But here they have a body, so that would be the resurrected body.
Boom. Okay. Good point. So yes. Good point. Boom.
We're going to be with Christ until the rapture, but we'll be with him in spirit.
Yes. And then the 24 elders sit down before him, cast their crowns, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor." Okay, so now I need to move to Revelation 5. "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. I saw a strong angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' No man in heaven or on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. One of the elders said unto me, 'Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David,'" you know who that is, "'hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Okay, let me see. Let's go to the next chapter. 6. And I saw the Lamb open one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. Take note of this. 6:2. And I saw and beheld, behold, a white horse. Don't get them confused. This is the first white horse. There's another white horse in Revelation 19. I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. This is not the same white horse that Christ rides on with a sword. This white horse, the rider comes in with a bow. Now, I used to do some bow hunting. In order for me to be effective in bow hunting, I have to have a bow and an arrow. He rides with a bow, but he has no arrows. We also remember a bow is a sign of peace, because when the flood came, God made a promise, and he put the rainbow in the sky, promise, sign of peace, that he would not destroy the earth in that manner again. A bow without an arrow is not a scary scenario. It is a sign of peace. The first rider comes in on a platform of peace. That is the deception. Here's something that will encourage you. When these seals start to become opened, the church is not there. The rapture has already taken place. Be encouraged. That's how I read and understand these scriptures and the prophecy. I think we will see that, you'll see it the way that I'm seeing it as we go through a little bit more of Matthew 24. But I want to pause right now and see, does anybody have any questions or thoughts? Yes, sir.
What you're talking about there, the reason I think you're correct on that is because the deception comes a lot easier when all the Christians are gone.
Oh, yeah. Could be. Well, this lends us to another question that I had. And I'll point it out to you. But I had a question that I asked myself as I was going through this. Why the tribulation in the first place? Why? Why the tribulation? Why is God allowing us to go through this? Why the tribulation?
Well, it's once again to prove how sin is in our heart, because this goes right over to the 1,000-year reign, and then lets Satan loose again, and man is deceived all over. It's just to keep reminding mankind that we are so sinful, and that we do need a Savior.
Yeah,
and even when Christ is here for 1,000 years, let Satan out, and man is still deceived that they don't believe that, even though Christ is on earth with us, there are going to be people that don't believe he is who he says he is. It shows how sinful we are.
So, when I went, I agree with you, when I went and asked myself this question, and I looked at the feast, what I realized with the feast is God is always rehearsing the steps. He rehearsed the steps with the children of Israel. He rehearsed the steps in the ministry of Christ. He rehearsed the steps with Esther and the book of Esther and Haman being hung on first fruits. Bless you. And he continues to rehearse it in our own lives. The rice in the sink. He's rehearsing the steps in us. So I went back in Scripture and I asked myself, I wonder, is he rehearsing anywhere else? Where do we see this kind of judgment before?
Egyptian.
Egyptian. Yep.
Egyptian.
Yep. We see it.
Bondage.
Yep.
The Red Sea.
Yep. And he allows. Yes.
It is.
Exactly. He's rehearsing. He's rehearsing these steps. So, why go through 10 plagues? It's to fulfill and let the Egyptians know that everything that you're trusting in will fail, and I am the only way. There's another one, even earlier than that. The flood. Why did he allow the flood to happen? And I wrote something down. To finish the transgressions, to make an end of sins, and bring in everlasting righteousness. So God in his mercy will allow the cup of wrath and judgment to fill up. Just so, as you said, Roger, just so that he can make an end of sin and bring righteousness back to the table. That's his mercy. The world is so crazy. He's going to allow the world to just get as crazy as it can until it just bubbles over. And then he's going to act. I looked at something else in the Old Testament. And he's talking to Abraham. And he says, when am I going to bring your people into the promised land? And God says to him, when the iniquity of the Amorites will be full, and this has to be judged. And so God places a limit on the foolishness. But it's for the sake of getting sin out of the way and bringing us back into right standing with him. Mm-hmm. And while I love what David Jeremiah says, because I think that's very applicable for us, we should be on a mission and we should have no fear. And I know sometimes we get here and we're going, oh man, it's crazy. It's crazy out there. It's crazy out there. It's according to the plan. Praise God for the plan. All right. Okay. We still got some time. Let me just say, what are you guys thinking about this so far?
God is creating this nation all over the world. Separating the lambs from the goats.
Yeah, sheep and goats. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because the goats have been deceived.
God is restoring all over the world also.
Yeah.
I believe.
So, Susan, in my notes, there you go. There's your sorrows, birth pangs.
Hey, Chuck.
Yes.
The way things are here in the D.C. area, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, you would think that it's already started with all the things that's going on here. As you know, our local news in the evening is from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. That's just the local news.
Wow.
Not the world news. And in the morning, it's 4 a.m. to 11 a.m. in the morning. And there's so many things going on in terms of anything, whether it's barricades, carjackings, family disputes, everything that was said would happen is happening at an incredible rate. It's increasing. So it's real. Whether people want to face it or not, what you're teaching is real. So I just wanted to say that. But it's a lot going on here. sometimes I don't even watch the news, especially before I go to bed.
Yep.
The last thing you want to do is watch the news before you go to bed.
Yeah.
And that fear factor will creep in.
Yeah.
So
I think one of the things that we can get out of this lesson is God knows what he's doing. There's a reason for this. We don't need to fear. We just need to be steadfast and understand that our reward is great. And I do believe that the rapture takes us out of this before.
2 Peter 3 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise.
Nope.
As some understand slowness.
Yep.
He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And we can look at it on the world spectrum, which is overwhelming to me.
Yep.
But I think we can draw it on in to just our own little world, our own little jurisdictions that we need to apply. We need to be asking God to help us to pray for our people. And for the people in our jurisdiction, for the people in our surroundings, we need to be asking God to help us not to fear.
Yeah.
We just need to draw it in personally. I know, I mean, maybe some women do, but I know men like Jimmy, like, and I'm fine with that. You know, he watches some news because he wants to know what's going on.
Yeah.
Me, I'm like very comfortable not knowing it. But I tell you, the woman.
Things pop up like every 15 minutes just so you can kind of know what's going on because you don't want to drive into the wrong area. But it seems like there's no real wrong area these days. I mean, thankfully, I live out in suburbia in the woods, and that was by design. But we're far away from the city in different areas. But the increase of the ghost guns and kids in middle school bringing guns to school and the fights, fighting teachers and all this other crazy thing. It's in all areas. It crosses all cultural boundaries. So it's just not one particular area. It's everywhere. And the increase right now, after the pandemic, like Chuck has said, has made people seem to not have that courtesy or anything anymore on the roads or just in general. Manners in general have seemed to disappear. So I just wanted to drop that. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I guess I had to get it off my chest.
Yep.
I've been out of town and it's coming back, and then I see all these things coming in now that I turned my phone back on after being gone for over a week, and it's just kind of overwhelming.
Yeah.
So.
You know, one of the things you hear in the news is the increase in lawlessness.
Yes.
That we've been talking about.
Yeah.
And I think one of the deceptions is that, well, if you vote the right people in, it'll fix that. You know,
yeah.
And if that's not the case when you look at the plan, you know, it doesn't really probably matter who's in there or what the politics are. You know, if this is the Lord's plan, it's going to continue to get worse.
You might be able to kick the can down the road,
yeah,
right. With your selection, but
I'm a conservative.
Well, I'm a moderate conservative. I mean, I'm typically going to vote the way of, and I don't want to get the politics in there, because the bottom line is, regardless of the politics, this is the plan.
Yeah.
This is the plan. Yes, son.
But we're not going to sit on our hands either.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
But I got to make sure that I don't get deceived into running after this or that, because I got to be in the gospel.
Yeah.
Well, as each individual vessel of the Lord, we need to be peering out over our jurisdiction, seeing what's going on, and going to the Lord in prayer, in the Word, being steadfast in that, and in all of this, absolutely prayer can make a difference.
in our individual family lives, as a wife and a mother, I mean, that is my heart through these times we're living in, is to not to fall short in praying as the Holy Spirit leads for my husband, for my children, my grandchildren, and all of y'all, and all of those in my jurisdiction. That's my heart. That is preparedness. I look and see the leaves on the fig tree.
Yeah.
I know summer's here. I have two fig trees beside my driveway.
Oh, man, get out of here.
Very
yeah.
visible.
Yeah.
And they are. It's awful when they bear because the flies come. But anyway. Yeah.
When they're dying,
the flies come. But, yeah, but I guess I could shout it from the rooftops to ask God to give us a heart to find out how He wants us to pray during this time. To be in communication with Him.
We still have an obligation in Matthew 28 to make disciples and get people saved and ready for the rapture.
True. Yeah.
That's what we should be doing. And if there's anything in the world that's distracting us or scaring us from doing that, then we're being deceived. Son?
Yeah, any negative thought, we know where it's coming from.
Yeah, no,
it shouldn't be a part of our temple.
Yeah.
It's how I view it.
What do you got, son?
Does anybody know Reverend Strong's coming back next month?
Coming back where?
New White House in Heavensburg, Pennsylvania.
I don't know anything about it.
Yes, we're going to have a new White House in Pennsylvania.
Don't be deceived. That's all I can tell you.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I'm focusing on the scripture right here on the sheet.
And that's what's going on in this nation. We're going
to
have a last revival.
Oh, we are going to have a last revival. I don't think it's going to be with him, but we're going to have a revival because we're going to be reading in the scripture. In the scripture, I know you got to go, but in the scripture, it's going to be pointing to those things with the word being preached, and there's going to be a last revival. So that's encouraging to know that even though Christianity is going to be attacked, there's going to be a great final revival when God says, here's the last chance for you guys to get it right.
It's happening already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is happening.
All right. Okay. Verse 9.
Thank you.
Okay. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. This is just rough. And what I say here, it appears to have a present and future application. And let me tell you what I mean by that. Verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And of this and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. And that's, again, what we just got to talk about. I'm going to go back over this next week, verse 13, because it's in Revelation. Well, I got it in my notes there. Revelation 14, 6, and 7. If the Revelation side has that, you can see what's supposed to happen. Oh, nobody's turned. Okay, we'll hit it next week. I was waiting for somebody. Don't worry about it. We're in it. I do want to get to 15 and then wrap this up. Verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel and the prophet. We're not going to get to Daniel 9. But this is significant. This is why I believe what I believe. Alright. We will do an in-depth analysis of Daniel's 7 weeks. And they have done a breakdown of those weeks by numbers of days and years, and it's astounding that they've come out that Christ lines up in his crucifixion. His arrival in Jerusalem lines up with Daniel's prophecy. and the abomination of desolation, which we've probably all heard about as Christians, lines up with Revelation. So we'll look at that next week. We don't have time to go through it. But I do want you to take a look at 16. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. But woe to them that are with child and with them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight not be in the winter nor on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation as such was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor shall ever be. Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, we'll go back over this next week. But God is always rehearsing. So I did some research, and I looked up what happened in 70 A.D. And when Christ dies, he's talking to his disciples, and he says that no stone will be left behind. Not only is he talking about near-term prophecy, he's also talking about end-time prophecy, because God is always rehearsing these steps. So, according to historians, in 70 A.D., the Romans put down the last Jewish rebellion at the time. They surrounded the temple around the time of Passover. Figure that. And they laid siege onto it, all right? And the siege lasted for some time, but it was around August time frame, summer, that everything broke. And there were a lot of Jews that were killed. Hundreds killed as it relates to this. And the ones that died were the ones that did not follow the scripture that I have there, 15, 16, or whatever. Because instead of fleeing to the mountains outside of that, they stayed in the temple because they felt that the temple had the walls and was built up in such a way that it would provide protection. And they did hold on against the siege and some counterattacks for quite some time. But in the end, no stone was left on top of another. There was a great, significant loss of life. All right, and everything that he's talking about here happened as it relates to the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. And it hit during that generation. And he's just repeating the scenario again. There'll be another Holocaust. I promise you that. Prophesies in Zechariah 14. Two-thirds of Jews will die again. It's in the prophecy. And we should not be surprised, because this has been practicing throughout our history, and a lot of this is coming
during the tribulation.
Yeah. We're going to close on this, but let me see if I can find it. It's in Zechariah. I can't remember where in Zechariah it is. Let me take a look at it real quick. Zechariah, maybe it's 13. I'm not sure. Let's see.
Well, this picture is the final days of the earth, right?
Yeah.
Part of Zechariah.
Oh, here it is. So let me get back to let me share my screen again. It's Zechariah 13.
Verse 8.
Yeah. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness, and there shall be, come past that day, the Lord of hosts, cut off the names of the idols of the land. I remember, it should come to pass, it should be a prophecy, it should come to pass, I think it is 8, I think you're right, it should come to pass in that day, the prophet should be ashamed, every one of his visions, the prophet says, I like verse 6, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? And then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Talked about that before. Christ did before he died. And I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. 8. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die. But the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined. And I will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call upon my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. They shall say, the Lord is my God. That's where I got that from. What happened in 70 AD, I believe is going to happen again. So we got to get people. And a lot of this is going to be happening to the Jewish nation. But we have a role. Any other last comments? I know it's not the usual Bible study that we normally have, you know, but it is. You know, this is the parable that got laid on us, and so, you know, I figured if it's the Bible, we might as well study it or whatever. And I think it's relevant for today because it is scary. And after I read this again, I just became more encouraged. Isn't that weird? I'm more encouraged. It's as crazy as the world is, I'm more encouraged because I know this. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. 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 Somebody's got to have some common sense.
We have so many people looking at us. We're panicking.
And look at the opportunity that we have to be able to show them. Why are you not panicking? Oh, well, that's what the Word of God says. You know. And are you ready? You got to get ready. Okay? All right. Well, let me get out of here. Any other thoughts or questions? Yes, Sandra.
Oh, I was waving.
Oh. All right. Mac, you good?
Good.
All right. We welcome our guests again for coming. God bless you guys. Let me let you see them again. Woohoo. There you go. And we thank Jimmy, even though he was slack last week, he did come through with double donuts. That's the only reason I got out of bed.
Make you feel better?
You know, let me tell you something. Lord, I need you because I don't feel good. Two, I think I want to stay home and stay in the bed, but I'm going to trust in you. You tell me what you want me to do. Lord, my hope is in you, you know, and I just pray for my relief. Now allow me, Lord God, to do what your Spirit's telling me to do, to give me the strength and bring you your glory. And then at this point in time, you can't do anything. You have to wait for God to move. That's where we are right now. We're waiting for the rapture. We're waiting for God to make his move. And we're sitting here. And, we're and all of a sudden, I find out that Jim's going to have 2 strawberry donuts. God just moved. So now, here I am. The mercy of God. I'm making a move. I've got victory over my sickness. And I'm going to leave here in peace.
There you go. Second one.
And I get double for my trouble.
Double mercy. Was this the feast of the strawberry donuts?
You'll have to play 2 hours of racquetball
tomorrow. Oh, boy. All right. Paul, can I?
Good study.
Yeah, it's a good study. It's not as scary as I thought it was going to be, but it's a good study. And we got more good stuff on the way. More good stuff on the way as we get through this.
We have a future.
I have a different perspective.
That's it. We got a good future. You know what? And that is it right there. I don't care how crazy it looks on the outside. We have a future.
A good future.
A future. Amen.
It's called hope.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't have it.
Yeah.
It's one of the problems with suicide rates so high.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yep.